Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Welcome to the Childcare Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. Not in studio with me is Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
And Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
Hey, there's a chance, people, we might do, I might say in studio with me in the coming future, because we're looking at doing a pod week again. It's been a while. So Lisa Murphy, I saw something the other day that made me both happy and sad.
Oh, tell me. It could have been so many different things.
Well, it probably was. So I've talked in past episodes about last school year, we'd walk and there was this little girl that we'd see at the bus stop waiting in the morning sometimes, and she talked to the dogs and everything, and she was just a delight. And although I hate the fact that the school buses are back on the street, I haven't seen her much this summer, and we ran into her the other day, and Slinky Dog still had his stitches in his nose from having his cancer cut off, and she's like, "What happened?" And I'm like, "Oh, I had a little bit of the cancer, and he had some surgery," and she's like, "Oh, my grandma had some cancer too, but she's doing okay. How's Slinky doing?" And so we talk about that for a little bit, and she's like, "I wish I would have known. I would have made him a card."
Oh,
that's so sweet. And then that's the pre-story. Then 2 days ago, I'm out for a walk in the morning with the dog, and I see her biking to school with her big brother. Now, I've talked about him last year too. This kid rides from, it's probably between a mile and a mile and a half to school. He's got to be third or fourth grade. And I'd see him, even when it was fairly cold out, biking to school in the morning. And I thought that was great. But now he's got his, she must be first grade, sister riding behind him, and he was giving her instructions about the path to take, and so this was like the second day of school, and I was overjoyed to see two kids riding their bike that far to school, because there's three or four busy streets to go across, and it's a little bit of a jaunt, and it's just great. But then I'm like, oh, I won't be seeing her at the bus stop anymore, and so I was having feels about that. But I love kids that are out peddling themselves to school in the morning. I just don't see enough of it, I guess. We saw a lot of it in Australia, but it's just not a thing around here as much as it used to be.
I don't know the name, and forgive me, Travis, because you're probably listening, but Travis, our friend and colleague, posed that question the other day on his Facebook page of, you know, what is something that you remember doing that would be considered risky now, or that wouldn't be able to happen now? And Jeff, that's completely what I said to him, was riding my bike, feeling unaccompanied.
Yeah.
And, you know, risky. I don't know if I would have called it risky, but, you know, nowadays people are getting arrested for less, you know, letting their kids do that kind of stuff, that supervision. And,
yeah.
You know, I would be, I thought your quote, sorry, this is my morbid, I'm so morbid. I thought you were going to say that, like, she brought a card the next day and then told you her grandma died or something. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I thought it was going to go down such a dark path. And I'm so glad it didn't.
Well, that's usually where I go. So, yeah, I mean, there's no reason not to expect that. And I love this. these schools, they just finished up the school they were building last year, and you know, they've got their recycling bins and all this kind of stuff, and then they've got all these damn school buses out belching CO2 in the atmosphere, and the schools are talking about being so environmentally friendly and recycling. I mean, just put the fucking buses back in the barn and let the damn kids walk to school. But we digress.
No, there's no but. There's no but there. I agree with that 100%. I mean, in the book, remember the book 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Children Do? Like, number 7 is walk to school.
Yeah.
You know, and for anybody who's not familiar with that book by Guy Vertelli, it came out, probably 10 years ago, maybe. And I used to joke that it's not a curriculum book. You know, like, the 50 dangerous things you should let your children do. And number 1 is lick a battery. And when I ask that at workshops, every single person in the frickin' room raises their hand, right? And then you go through the list a little bit and you realize that it's not necessarily a to-do list that he's providing, but I would argue it's more of a tongue-in-cheek social commentary on just how far we have drifted from what children should not be allowed to do. And we come again back to the risk versus hazard and relationships. Like, for all the money that we're spending on gas and school bus maintenance, you could pay people in the neighborhood who could use the money to stand there and be people who are facilitating, you know, the kids walk to school.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, here in our community, they've been, for the last 20 years, they've been consolidating schools. And so they'll close down 2 schools and then put everybody into 1. So they're building these bigger schools, which means they're not neighborhood schools anymore.
Exactly.
If you're looking at any of the early learning research, you should be going the exact opposite direction with even smaller schools. I would love to see 50 student schools popping up in like condo buildings and storefronts and those kind of places, like out in the community where everybody is in and of their neighborhood instead of these big monstrosities that look like prisons, because there you have more team building and more community, and people know each other more, and you just have more community and ownership of those learning facilities. But we're going the exact opposite direction, which means parents are driving further and they're becoming more frustrated and everybody has to leave earlier and there's more traffic, and it's just...
Dude, there's people getting in fights over damn pickup lines.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a topic in and of its own self, which... You know, again, I'm not in that loop, and nor have I ever really been in that loop, but the feedback that I get from like random Uber drivers and people I chat with in the airport is that they're having to take an hour to an hour and a half to 2 hours out of their day because everybody wants to be in the first 10 cars, right? And so now you're sitting there for however God knows how long. Oh, I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, and your comment, Jeff, 2 seconds ago about like the condo buildings or storefronts of smaller places for kids to go to school. You know, everybody, I don't care what town you live in, everybody knows of an abandoned, you know, building that, you know, just needs some attention or needs somebody just to be interested in making it functional again. You know, it's not like we're lacking places where these smaller, more intimate environments can be created.
Yeah. And I mean, imagine a 50 student school with, I don't know, what do you got? You got three adults. You got somebody taking care of the paperwork, and you got 2 teachers, maybe 4, and they get a budget of X number of dollars for the year, and you know, rent's paid. Somebody comes to take care of the facilities, and they teach, and that's their job.
Oh my God.
And they've got autonomy and control and power. Think about the team building that could go on. Think about the relationships that could be built with families. Think about the fact that you're doing this with multi-age groups.
I love it.
And it would be delightful, but it ain't ever going to happen other than maybe small doses here and there, because it takes away. Think about how much bureaucracy, how many layers of administrators could be pruned out of the system with something like that. Uh-oh.
No, you guys froze, so I didn't say anything, but my comment, assuming you can hear me again.
Yeah, I just kept thinking one house, one room schoolhouses came to mind. You know, back in the day, or you drive along the road and you'd see some historical marker and a building saying one room schoolhouse, and how everyone learned together. And I think that'd be awesome to have that going again.
Oh yeah, the autonomy, just that, and even to go back to the last episode where I was ranting about the DAP draft, they reference the idea of exercising agency throughout a big chunk of the document, but yet, you know, they're wanting to make sure children are exercising agency, but they don't necessarily make accommodations for teachers to do the same thing. And you can't do that when there's multiple layers of bureaucracy, but you can do that when you give a space back to somebody and say, now go teach. But to that, and I've brought this up before, is that a lot of teachers lament and get frustrated because they say, I tell the kids to go play, and they don't know what to do. And they stand there and they say, what do you want me to do? And I don't want to sound like a negative Nancy, but it's been my experience that you say, go teach, and they do exactly the same thing. What do you want me to teach? What is it time for me to teach? How do I need, is this going to be on the desk? Da, 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 da. You know, and so I caution that we say out of one side of our mouth that we want something, but when we're actually quote unquote allowed to do it, we often find that we aren't necessarily prepared or have the ability.
Well, and see, that's the thing. We systemically, you spend all of your elementary school and middle school and high school years with very little agency, very little power and control over your day. And then you go off maybe to some form of higher education, whether it's a trade school or college, and you have varying amounts of agency in your day there. I guess if you're an apprentice plumber, you don't have a lot of control. You got to do what the master plumber tells you to do. And if you're off to a college campus, I guess you get to decide if you're going to be showing up for your 8 o'clock class hungover, or not showing up, or showing up and sitting in the front row all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. But really, those are kind of closed systems, and so there's not a whole lot of exposure to the real world. And then you get your first job, which is administrative heavy, and you're in a cubicle or in a classroom, and you have very little power and control or agency in your own life. And so... We're raising people not to take advantage of, to take control of their lives and their destinies and their direction. And so it's terrifying when people are faced with having to do those things, whether they're 3-year-olds or whether they're 33 years old.
I agree.
Well, there's this has been the Child Care Bar.
And not to play, you know, echo Jeff, but you know, how many times have we said and acknowledged that when you get put into a childcare at 6 weeks old, and you know, since literally the time you were 6 weeks, I'll even go back years. You said, you know, elementary school, you go back, you've been told when to eat, sleep, poop, pee, clean up, line up, when you're hungry, when you're not hungry. And then now you've got these, you know, Google it, guys, skills for the 21st century, which contain things like creativity and collaboration and problem solving. We've not given this generation any practice of how to do what is supposedly going to be expected of them. And that just makes me absolutely crazy nowadays, is that these are what we got to get them ready for. Fine. So now let's work backwards and look at what that environment looks like. And I don't care what anybody else, what other language people add to it. If you give children long periods of uninterrupted free time to play and explore their environment, you're going to get those skills.
Yeah.
And it just makes me crazy that we know how to get to the end point, but we're still so fucking stubborn. Rawr! Tyrannosaurus Rex, Lisa, has not come out in a while. That's me waving my little hands. Rawr!
And so, I mean, it's to the point where, I mean, we've talked about this before, that there are people working this profession who want to advocate for play but don't have any background in actually playing in their own lives. And so we both talk about doing this during sessions is making people play. I do it with loose parts sessions. You do it with all the hands-on stuff you do. And because you should have some experience in it before you, I mean, it helps to have some experience in those things before you actually go out and try to help others do them. And so, I mean, I'm at the point with the Playvolution HQ site. I've been doing kind of a lot of DIY articles lately, and, you know, I started putting together lists of here's how you select tools. Here's ideas of tools for like kids using tools, hammers and those kind of stuff, kind of things. But then I'm hearing from people that want to use, you know, let kids use hammers in their rooms, but don't know how to use hammers because they never had the experience. And so I'm to the point where I don't know if I need to start putting together here's how you pull a nail and here's how you straighten a nail if it gets bent so that they can practice doing that.
And there would probably, if I was honest, there would have been a time in my life where I would say, my God, how patronizing that you would assume that people don't know how to do that. But you know what? I'm past that. You know, you got to teach people how to do shit. And it really, I think, is the tone and the intention behind it, right? There's an attitude there, and you can feel that. You can tell when somebody's being patronizing to you or being snarky or sarcastic or, you know, like turning it into comedy somehow. And there's another thing that's just like, guys, you are not going to be comfortable facilitating tool use in your classroom if you have never done it yourself. So go get a hammer, get a piece of wood, get what you need to do. I'm going to fucking teach you how to do this so you don't try and do it from a place of fear. Yeah. Because then that's going to send you 6 steps backwards, right? Here, I thought I was doing something big and bold. I'm letting the kids use tools. But the variable that I didn't stop to consider was that I am going to be giving off fearful body language, whether I realize it or not.
Yeah, and it's like bugs. I mean, if you're scared of bugs, that's going to telescope through. If you're scared of hammers or screwdrivers, it's going to telegraph through. The only reason I haven't put together any of those kind of things yet is because I felt like, oh, here's a dude telling people working in early learning, mostly women, how to do stuff. And I didn't know if that'd be right. So.
No, you put what I've started calling, Jeff, the asterisk of disclaimer. I'm not implying that because I have a dick, I'm better at this than you.
I'm better at you than it because I've been doing it since I was 4 years old and you have never had the opportunity.
Exactly. Which has nothing to do with my identifiable gender. the gender in which I identify. Right? You know where I'm going with that, right?
You don't. Lisa Murphy, you don't know what gender I identify with.
Well, that's true,
you've been gone for a long time. I might have changed things up.
You might have changed things up. Fair enough. We can talk about that next episode.
Well, I mean, with you, Jeff, I mean, being in a primarily female field and stuff, I like to quilt. And there's actually a guy who quilts and has his own show, and he's called The Quilt Guy. And it was like, usually if I Google about quilts, it's female based. That's sure. What you see. But there is this guy and he's actually entertaining and knowledgeable and he's a joy to listen to. Well,
is he sexy?
Not to me, no. He has great hair.
But you would.
He has tattoos too, but you know. But he's based down in Missouri.
Lisa Murphy, we just found out Tasha's watching quilt porn.
but I'm going to link it back to what you said, Jeff, whereas you're perhaps, and it's valid, you might have a valid concern that, you know, some people might project some kind of because he's a guy, he thinks he can do this. It's almost the opposite, I would say, Tasha, and I'm putting words in your mouth, that you maybe had to listen in a little longer to give him the benefit of the doubt because he was a guy, like almost the complete, you know, like is he still... Like, is this going to be as credible as what I know, you know, I might bring to the table or some of the women that I listen to? I mean, I don't know.
Well, and with me too, it's like, how well is he going to present himself? Sometimes you click on a video, no matter what it is that you're Googling to get some more information on and stuff. And it's just like, it's tedious. It's boring. You don't want to listen to it. So you click it off and hope for somebody else that's going to be good. And he is. He's good to listen to. So.
Wow.
But I was surprised that he was a guy. Yeah.
Huh. Speaking
so we wrap this up so you guys can go process this alone.
Speaking of videos and the internet and learning how to do stuff.
Easy now.
Yes.
Earlier today, I had the thought that, you know, I thought maybe something I can add to the Playvolution HQ site is not tying. Because there are people that are out doing forest school stuff and kids are playing with rope and there's all kinds of cool knots. And I thought, I'm going to hunt down some videos I can put on the HQ site that are going to be helpful for that kind of stuff. Because, you know, that's a thing, right? And so I started doing some searching to, because if there's good videos out there, then I don't have to make them and I can just do posts to them. And
I know where this is going.
I started doing searches. And I found a couple good ones, and then the bondage one started showing up.
Is it because you watched one, that's all that then came up through the feed?
Yeah, and so, and I mean, although the technique in those videos are very well, there's nothing explicitly sexy about them. I guess I don't think those are the ones I need to share. I did find some that are like firefighters showing you how to tie knots, and so I thought, knowing my wife, I thought those might be good ones.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but yeah,
they might lead to more. Well, I'm not going to even say that.
What's this episode about?
You know, I have no idea, but it might be a good time to wrap it up.
Yeah. And so this is, we didn't talk about anything, but I think we talked about some stuff.
True. I would disagree with that, but I would call it smorgasbord.
Yeah.
I would call it, you know, we're still getting our sea legs back. It's been about 6 weeks.
Yeah, we'll figure out how to do that. We talked about biking to school. We talked about mixed age groups. We talked about bondage. We talked about agency. I think there's all kinds of stuff there. I was trying to figure out a way to link agency and bondage and
no, yeah, the ABCs.
Yeah, I got nothing. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. We'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day, and really thanks. Thanks for listening. We've got this is episode 531 of this show. I looked at the numbers, Lisa, and this show has been downloaded well over 600,000 times. And with all the shows, that Early Childhood Nerd with Heather and Renegade Rules with the other Heather and the Teaching with the Body and Mind podcast with Mike Huber and the rest and all the other shows, the show Dan used to do, all those shows, over 1 million downloads now total over the years.
Wow.
since we recorded our first show here. So that's a lot of podcasts going to a lot of ear holes. And I also was looking at the stats the other day, and we seem to have a listener or two in Hong Kong. And so if you're in Hong Kong and you're out there fighting for a little bit of freedom, keep it up and hope you have the podcast in your ears when you're doing it. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill, back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
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 This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.